Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the Boston Three Party. The Celtics bounce back in a smart way. Are they now in the driver's seat to get to the finals? Plus, what the heck happened to Luka Doncic in game one? What has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors tonight? And the fiery feud that has everyone talking. Jimbo responds to Nick with insults and accusations. Is he right about Bama's legendary coach? Talk about that and a lot more this morning on Get Up as we say good morning to you. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Mike Greenberg. Look who's with me at the Seaport. NBA legend Amari Stoudemire, Coach Seth Greenberg here with us as well. Tim Legler joining us too. Got a lot of basketball to talk about, so let's get right to it. Game two, Celtics, Heat. Game of the night. Heat have a 1-0 series lead coming into this one, hosting the Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Smart, Horford, both back in the lineup for the Celtics. Early first quarter, Heat heating up. Jimmy Butler, contested jumper over Marcus Smart. Good. Heat up four. Later, Heat up seven. Max Strus looking, knocking down threes. That's the way the Heat want it. They're up 10, but guess what? The Celtics would respond big time, even though Spo's saying, whoa. Spo, watch this. Jaylen Brown for three. And then nearing 2 minutes to play, Celtics up two. Brown finding Horford, swinging it to Smart for three. Celtics up five. They shot 9-for-11 from three in the first quarter. Their best three percentage in any quarter over the last 15 seasons. And then here in the second, oh, Jason Tatum for three. Celtics up 14. 5 minutes left in the second. Tatum spinning. Gonna hit the jumper and get the foul. Tatum fired up. They're up 24 at that point after the free throw. And then Smart dishing to Tatum. It was a three party indeed. Tatum with 17 in the second. Celtics up 25 at the half. Third quarter. Here's the Smart impact in a nutshell. Watch this. The jumper over the basket and gets the foul. I mean, wow. Just wow. 3 minutes remaining in the third. Celtics up 17. Smart making Max Strus look nice there. Looks silly, really. Putting them on skates. Celtics win it 127-102, even up the series 1-1. Smart, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. And after the game, Smart, all smiles.
I was pumped. You know, I felt bad that I couldn't be out there with my teammate and go to battle with him. You know, we're playing against a really good Miami Heat team. And, you know, it's a blessing to be on the same court with him and going to war. And it's just tough not to be out there, you know. So, but I got to get my rest, got to get my health back, got to watch and see some things and come out and execute this game.
I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them.
Indeed, and it did. The return of Smart and Horford was a game changer defensively as the two guys combined held the Heat for 5-for-20 from the field as a primary defender with 6 turnovers. And those two guys forced more turnovers in game two than all other Celtics primary defenders. That is how big their impact was. The Celtics did an absolute 180 from game one, getting Marcus Smart back, and they had him to thank, really. For you, Coach, what was the impact of Marcus Smart on this game?
Defensive player of the year, first and foremost. Let's understand that. His ability to take someone out of a game. His leadership. In other words, you put Marcus Smart on the court, and all of a sudden, everyone understands who they are, what they do well, and he puts people in position to play to their strengths. His ability to take some pressure off of Jason Tatum. His ability to facilitate. 12 assists, 1 turnover, making the right play. He's a guy that comes up with every single 50-50 ball, gets all the hustle points. His leadership, his toughness, his physicality, and then in the end, his shot making. But to me, it's all about his leadership and his ability to take pressure off of Tatum and what he did defensively.
He was just incredible. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. He was everywhere. What stood out most?
He was everywhere, man. I mean, this guy, you got to keep in mind, he's a defense, like Coach was saying, he's a defense player of the year. Right, he's also one of their main playmakers. As you see, he reminds me kind of a Draymond Green for the Boston Celtics. You know, because the energy that he gives off to his guys is something that they appreciate. You know, I remember one play, you know, it was a backdoor pass, and he was like, I got you. It was a missed pass, and he said, I owe you one. You know, yeah. That type of positive energy gives your teammates confidence in each other, and that's the morale you want from your defense player.
Sounds like you're also talking about the leadership there. And Tim Legler, what we saw from the Celtics was just unbelievable considering what we saw in game one. There was a sense of maybe they couldn't get back in this, but they got back in it in a huge way.
Yeah, they did, and I think everything that Seth and Amari said are so true. There's one other component, I think, to Marcus Smart. You know, when he's making shots, he's the single biggest X factor in the Eastern Conference, I think, because you know what he's going to give you defensively, and obviously game one, they were dominated by Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy played well in game two, but he wasn't a guy that couldn't be dealt with because you've got Marcus Smart. And then on top of it, he's making shots. He's making plays. He's running the show. As Seth alluded to, he comes up with the 50-50 ball. Some of those balls, by the way, Seth, I'd even say they're not even 50-50 balls. They're 30-70 balls, and he still comes up with them because of his desire to go get it. You know, when you've got a guy with that much want to, it exudes confidence in the rest of your team. So I cannot say enough about the imprint that Marcus Smart put all over that game last night and that he will put all over this series.
Yeah, and you talk about 30-70, that shot over the basket. I mean, that was what, 199?
He created 37 points off passes.
Oh, man.
Off passes. Wow. Off making the game easier for other people, freeing people up by making the right decision. And only one turnover. Everything he does, we always talk about winning players.
Right.
This time of the year, you need winning players. Mm-hmm. Legs. Yeah. Amari, he's the ultimate winning player in terms of what he brings to the team. Everything he does has one purpose. That's to put his team in position to be successful.
And you know who else was a winning player? Jason Tatum. He had 27 points on 13 shots, added 5 assists. Coach, what impressed you most about his performance? You have some tape.
He didn't take a shot until, think about this, he didn't take a shot until the 6-minute mark in this basketball game. He picked up 2 fouls early, obviously second quarter, and he has 17 points. But early in the game, his ability to make plays for other, overplay because you want to stop him from catching the ball, what does he do? He gives himself up, he backdoors. He gets to play, all of a sudden you've got to overhelp. His ability to make the right decision, kicks it out. Al Horford, obviously healthy, knocks down that 3. And then right here, you come off of this ball screen, you drag 2. If you drag 2, someone is open. That's why you put a guy in a ball screen. Smart does a good job of relocating to his slot. He makes the right pass, giving himself up again, open up that knockdown 3. To me, Jason Tatum's ability to facilitate and get other people involved in the game then made it easier for him in the second quarter. He picked his spots to attack, but more importantly, he read the defense and made the right play. He does about everything you need to do as an offensive player. He can make plays for others. Mm-hmm. He can play in isolations. He is terrific off screens, coming off screens, being shot ready. Total package offense.
Legs, I almost think they put too much on him in game one, and they kind of had to out of necessity. There was no Marcus Smart. He had to handle the ball a lot more. But in this game, it's almost as if you saw Jason Tatum doing what he does best because he had Marcus Smart there and Horford there.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously those guys had a big impact. The thing I loved about their performance in this game, Tatum, I'll put Jaylen Brown in the same conversation. I love when these guys are super efficient, and it's actually one of the biggest impacts that Ime Udoka has had on his two stars. When you look at a year ago, on an average night, those guys were taking 40 shots to get 50 points. Not super efficient. When you look at what they did this year, I think it's around 38, 39 shots to get almost 56 points. That's an enormous jump in efficiency, and you saw it in game two. And part of it is because you can stay in your lane a little bit more when you don't have to be the primary creator every time. Jason Tatum certainly can run ball screen offense and can get his own, but man, is it a lot easier when someone else can help at least get the engine started on that trip so you can catch and be much more decisive and concise in what you're doing offensively and get into your rhythm. I thought Tatum was sensational. Jaylen Brown as well played at an all-star caliber level again last night. It was just a dominant performance top to bottom by the Boston Celtics, and they never took their foot off the gas despite a mini run by the Heat in the second half. Boston put that to bed pretty quickly.
Yeah, at one point between the first and the second, they went on a 60-22 run. I mean, that was just epic, these Celtics yesterday. And they just controlled it. So, Amari, you look at this. The Celtics stole home court with the win. They've got the split in Miami. Are they now in the driver's seat?
Absolutely they are, because now you have regained home court advantage. And what Coach is pointing out about Jason Tatum, you see how fundamentally sound he is. I mean, everything he does is based upon being on balance. He's always in triple threat. He's always making the right pass. He's not overcomplicating the game. I mean, all those intangibles for a player is important because it allows everyone else to play comfortably. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it was a great point Coach made. But, yeah, I think Boston's for sure in the driver's seat now that they regain home court advantage.
They've dominated seven of the eight quarters. I mean, think about it. They've dominated 78 quarters.
That's a good point.
They are a big matchup problem for the Heat. Yeah. And Legs, what you were talking about in terms of Jaylen Brown's a matchup problem when Gabe Vincentone is. Yeah. Obviously, Jason Tatum's a matchup problem. Marcus Smart's a matchup problem. They are grown men. When you have Robert Williams, Horford, and those three, all right, they're bigger, stronger, quicker, more athletic, and more floor gamers and more pressure on the defense. They are a huge matchup problem, as good as the Heat are.
You know, and we'll talk a lot more about the Heat coming up and what went wrong with them, because after game one, we thought they were in the driver's seat. Maybe now things change in favor of the Celtics. Got a lot more on that game. But first, we're going to this one. A big one, the chase for the cup. Lightning, Panthers, game two, second round. The Battle of Florida. Tampa Bay with the 1-0 series lead, under 8 minutes to play. Watch this. Stamkos going to shoot inside, but Corey Perry there for the redirect. And the goal. Excellent hand-eye coordination by Perry for the deflection, Lightning up 1-0. And then watch. Second period. Under 2 minutes to play, same score. Eetu Luostarinen gets it from the top of the circle, scores. Puck just trickles in right there for the goal. Take a look. Just slips right by. Panthers tie it up at one. Third period, final seconds of regulation. Doesn't get any more dramatic than this. Game on the line. Take a listen to Dave Mishkin of the Lightning Radio Network.
Kucherov, five to go. Kucherov, put it in front. Score! Score! Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left. Incredible! Kucherov magic.
Kucherov magic. Ross Colton goal. Lightning win it 2-1. They take a commanding 2-0 series lead, and Ross Colton's goal was the seventh game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup playoff history within the final 4 seconds of regulation. It's also the second latest in team history after Tyler Johnson's game winner with 2 seconds left back in the 2015 second round. Well, coming up, a fiery feud. Jimbo ripping Nick, and the legendary coach has responded. So has the SEC. Who's right? Who's wrong? We'll ask Paul Feinbaum. Plus, what the heck happened to Luka Doncic in game one? And what has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors in game two tonight? And take a look at this. This is Jon Rahm live at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Round two of the championship is underway. We're going to have complete coverage. It's going on right now on ESPN+. We'll have it here all day on ESPN, but we'll give you the latest on Rahm, Tiger, and everyone in play at the PGA Championship right here on GetUp.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up, and check out this eye candy, Marcus Smart. It's so good we had to show it twice. Marcus Smart putting Max Strus on skates with the crossover and the jumper.
The
what do you think about
USA
that?
Team.
Right there, pick up your lingerie.
That is a relationship with it.
A little inside out, shake, bake, drop. That's one that Max will see multiple times in the next week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure that'll be in the film session for the Heat, but the players, they will have that somewhere on social media, probably sending it to Max.
Yeah, I'm sure the Heat players are kind of ribbing him a little bit, saying, hey, remember that? Do better next time. Okay, at a Birmingham event on Wednesday, this was incredible. Nick Saban made headlines when he called out his former assistant Jimbo Fisher by saying Texas A&M bought every player on their team when discussing name, image, and likeness. On Thursday, Jimbo responded in no uncertain terms.
I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
Oh, coach on coach violence right before your eyes. I have never seen anything like that. Heather Dinich, Paul Feinbaum joining us now. Heather, I know you have been all over this. You've been talking to ADs, all people in the SEC especially. What are you hearing from people around college football?
Well, after everyone picked their jaws up off the floor and stopped laughing yesterday, the conversation turned a little more serious, guys. I did speak with two ADs in the SEC who told me, look, this public forum is not the place for two of our highest profile coaches to be throwing jabs at each other. I spoke with Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork, who said, I stand behind my coach. The reason we're so defensive about it is because they thought that Nick Saban was saying that they broke rules and laws in the state of Texas. And then finally, I spoke with another Power 5 AD outside of the SEC who said, look, this makes for great theater, but this is one example of concerns people have behind the scenes that they're not saying out loud.
Okay, so they're speaking the truth, just very, very publicly and in a way we've never seen before. Paul, what was your biggest takeaway from Jimbo's response to Saban?
Jimbo Fisher declared war against Nick Saban. He flat out went to DEFCON 1 and said, we're going nuclear. And, you know, we can talk about this in the parlance of laughter and jabs, but that's not what I heard from Jimbo Fisher. He looked at Nick Saban and said, you're a fraud. You're a liar. You may be a cheat. Let's peel back the curtain. I never wanted to work for you again. And for the record, Saban offered him the offensive coordinator's position when he went to Alabama. And talk to other people who have worked for Nick Saban. And what makes that so remarkable, Ryan, is that Nick Saban is sacrosanct. He's the greatest coach of all time, and his reputation off the field equals that. I have never heard anyone lay a glove on Nick Saban. And I've talked to people who have written books on Saban. Yeah, maybe he's surly. Maybe he berates coaches in private. But never anything like this in the public domain. This was simply one of the most extraordinary moments in recent college football history yesterday.
Yeah, and we see the wins and losses that Saban's had against his assistants, and that's always the big story, but we've never seen this kind of discord. Seth, you were a longtime coach. That's why I wanted to bring you in on this. What stands out most to you?
Nick Saban misspoke, and plain and simple. There's an honor amongst thieves. If you have a problem with a coach, you know, you pick up the phone, you make a phone call and say, I got a problem here. Look, name, image,
You're
and likeness.
You're saying Jimbo should have done that.
No, I think that Nick Saban, if he had a problem. Okay. Look, name, image, and likeness has become basically, it's no longer name, image, it's pay for play. Let's face it. I mean, that's just what it is. It's become a recruiting inducement. You got a problem with Jimbo Fisher and how he's conducting his business? Pick up the phone. But it's legal now in a lot of ways because of these collectives. On the other hand, Jimbo Fisher, same thing. You got a problem with Nick Saban? Pick up the phone. Like, there used to be, and this is so to speak, you know, I'm not saying literally, but honor amongst thieves. If you had a problem with a guy, honor amongst thieves, pick the phone. You address it in that moment in time. But you know what? Both of these guys overstepped. Nick Saban was trying to say this. He's talking to his boosters in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. We're behind the curve right now. We've got to get up to speed. If we're going to continue to compete and get the best recruits and best players, we've got to pick up our collective. We've got to raise more money to go out and pursue the best players, whether it's return on investment, taking care of the players that are in your program, or go out and recruit the next generation of Alabama players. He misspoke, and I think he took it back because you can't mention anyone's name. You could say, this is what's going on out there right now. All right, and this is what we are dealing with in terms of recruiting. But to mention someone else's name, to me, he crossed the line. And I think that obviously Jimbo crossed the line as well.
Okay. I want to talk about that more, but on Thursday, I want to talk about what you're saying with Saban's response. He followed up on his comments and tried clarifying. Take a listen.
I really didn't mean to single anybody out. I apologize for that, but it's the whole system, and is this a sustainable system, and is it really, good for college football? I think name, image, and likeness is good for college football. You know, I think the focus now is getting a little bit more on how much money I can make while I'm playing and where can I make it, and I'm not sure that's really good systematically for any of us.
Okay, so the headline for me in that, and obviously he's explaining his position, is I didn't mean to single anybody out. And I've just found it interesting that he didn't say along with that, and I'm sorry to Deion Sanders, and I'm sorry to Jimbo Fisher, which really stood out to me. Because if you're saying this is what I'm trying to say, but you don't address it directly, then how can you expect Jimbo Fisher not to hit back because his program has been insulted?
This program has been insulted, but I think it's one of those things, once an assistant, always assistant. I think that Nick Saban looks like his former coaches, still has his assistants. That's just the way it is.
Mm. Once an assistant, always an assistant. Paul, weigh in.
It was a pathetic response. Nobody in their right mind should take that apology seriously, because it was a typical, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry. That's not sincere, because I don't think Nick Saban was being sincere. Many people have heard Nick Saban call out Jimbo Fisher in private. So that public apology, I didn't mean to say it, just doesn't hold the smell test. I'm sorry, Ryan.
Okay. Heather, what do you think?
Well, I spoke to people yesterday who said Nick Saban is too smart to say something without being calculated about it. So does he feel threatened? Ross Bjork at Texas A&M said that to me. Why did he do that? I don't know why. Does he feel threatened? Is it bigger than Texas A&M? Is it a threat from name, image, and likeness and not being able to catch up with that game that's going on right now? I don't know the answer to that, but people I spoke to certainly raised that question.
Make no mistake, this is not over, not by a long shot. And
SEC
I wonder what the next
day,
shoe
baby.
Drop will be. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And by the way, Deion Sanders not happy about it either, but saying he's trying to basically use us to sell to his booster, something you guys have been touching on as well. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Well, coming up, the Heat is now on Miami after a game 2 stinker at home. What changed? And is Boston now in the driver's seat to win the series? And Tiger Woods, look, he was tamed in round 1 and in pain. Can he bounce back today? We got a live report from the PGA Championship coming up next on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up with the game of the night. Heat with a 1-0 series lead as they hosted the Celtics last night. Game 2, Marcus Smart, Al Horford back in the lineup, and they were on one. Jaylen Brown to Al Horford to Smart for 3. Celtics go up 5 at that point. Early second quarter, they're up 11. Jaylen Brown to Jason Tatum for 3. They were hitting threes like crazy last night. Celtics up 14. Then they were up 21, and Tatum went to work, spinning, hitting the jumper, and getting the foul. on P.J. Tucker making it work. And he wasn't done. Smart finding Tatum for three. He finished with 17 in the second quarter. Celtics were up by 25 at the half. Third quarter, they're up 24. Watch this shot. Smart, the jumper over the basket and gets the foul. Doesn't get any better than that. Under 3 minutes left in the third. Smart putting Max Strus on skates. Breaking ankles. Winning 127-102 to even the series at one all. Smart, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. And Jimmy Butler not happy after this one.
It can't get too much worse. You know, they whipped our tail on our home floor. I guess if they do it on their home floor, it's supposed to happen. But I don't see us doing that again. I mean, the first half has been brutal for us in both of these games. We just gotta come out and play harder from the jump and be ready, because they'd be throwing some haymakers in the first half.
Absolutely, and I agree. It can't get too much worse, because Boston dominated the Heat, earning its fifth road win by 25 or more points in the postseason in franchise history, and their largest road win in the conference finals or later. However, the Seas did go on to lose the series after two of those previous four wins. But these Seas, they look primed. So, Legs, I'll start with you, and I want to give you this sort of binary question. Was this outcome more about good Celtics or bad Heat?
Well, it usually is always a little bit about both, but I think this was mostly about the Celtics. They just played exceptionally well. When you're starting five, shoots 55% from the field, they shoot over 50% from the three-point line, and they play with that kind of confidence, it's more about what the Boston Celtics did. And look, they have a team that is more complete in terms of the number of guys that can hurt you with shot making. And when you're playing off of your two stars and your role players stay in their lane, line up, toe up, and knock down shots the way that they did in the first half, it's a barrage. And that's, to me, more about the Boston Celtics. Clearly, Miami can play better, and they need certain individual players to put their stamp on game three to have a chance, namely Bam Adebayo. I'd probably put him at the head of the list. Far too passive. He's saying he's not touching the ball maybe enough, or they don't think he's touching the ball enough. I was told a long time ago, that's never an excuse for a great player. The ball finds you if you're putting your imprint on the game. The ball is going to find you like a magnet. So Bam Adebayo needs to be better in certain areas. Individuals, I think I'd put it on the Heat. But for me, this was collectively more about the Boston Celtics.
Coach, I got to say, you made this really important point when we were meeting earlier today about how the Celtics responded after game one and how this might have affected game two. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know how it affected, but I thought they were a little giddy after that game one. It was great when you're supposed to win that game.
A little
you're playing
too
high. At home.
Yeah.
To me, it should have been, hey, we did what we were supposed to do. You know, we were outplayed for three quarters. We took care of business in the third quarter. We found a way to win that game. That's great. They're playing without two starters. We're supposed to win that game. You shouldn't be that giddy, I guess is the right word. Legs is right. The Celtics are a better team. They've got more floor gamers. They've got more playmakers. They've got more shot makers. They've got greater length. They've got great physicality. Everything's got to go right. I'll give you a perfect example. Healthy to Celtics. Seven-man rotation. You know what? Seven-man rotation. You got a front court sub. You got a perimeter sub. All of a sudden, you develop a chemistry. Pritchard, plus 39 last game.
Wow.
All of a sudden, Grant Williams, plus 37. The pieces fit. But more importantly, like Lex says, they have more different ways to come at you that the Heat don't have answers for.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And Legs and Coach both are correct. The Celtics is just a better team, right? They just know their system a lot better. I think, you know, when you watch these highlights with the Celtics, right, you see every pass. And the reason why they shoot over 50% because every pass is on the dime. It's right there on the numbers. And guys are ready to shoot, so it makes it a lot easier. And the percentage of shooting it goes a lot higher, because when these guys are fundamentally sound, they're making the right plays at the right time. It allows you as a shooter, to knock down the open shot, because the ball's coming right to you, right on the dime, which is important to see. And I think these guys are just fundamentally sound and makes a really good basketball team.
Defensively, I think the Celtics were great. They pushed the Heat out one step further.
Uh-huh.
They ran their whole offense, and they took Jimmy out of the game. Jimmy scored those points a lot when the game was over.
Yep.
Marcus Smart did a really good job on Jimmy. 37 possessions against Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler only gets five shots in his 37 possessions.
He was an incredible.
Defensively, the ball pressure of the Celtics, I thought, pushed the Heat out.
So let's talk about Jimmy again there, Coach. You know, he had 29 in this game, Amari. Mm. Did he do enough as the team's number one? We ask him to do so much. He's been the superstar of these playoffs, but did he do enough?
I mean, obviously you didn't win a game, right? So you can always say that you didn't do enough because you want to win that game. But he's doing his part. Mm-hmm. You know, he had 41 game
winners. But is that enough to win the series? Because that's all that matters.
No, he need help. And without Kyle Lowry, I think if, when he's out and your floor general, a guy who's going to create, you know, offensive flow for you and control the game, without him, it makes Jimmy Butler's job a lot harder because now he has to be the facilitator and also be the scorer and also the primary defender. So it's a heavy lift for him. But I think, you know, without Kyle Lowry, it's going to be difficult for the Miami Heat.
I feel like they're asking Butler to do what they asked Tatum to do in the last game without Smart and Horford, and you see how that worked out. And now Butler has got a lot on him as we look at Game 3. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll have Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals right here on ESPN between the Heat, the Celtics, moving to Boston, tied at one apiece tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern on ABC, and the app. The Countdown crew is going to get things started at 8 Eastern. And time now for your morning wake-up call. It comes courtesy of the Tampa Bay Lightning and Dave Mishkin on Lightning Radio Network. Check this out.
Keldon pull out the right point. Find it at Kucherov. Five to go. Kucherov, put it in front. Score! Score! Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left. Incredible! Kucherov magic!
Battle of Florida looking a little one-sided right now. Ross Colton's game winner against the Panthers gave the Lightning a 2-0 lead in the best-of-seven series. For the 10th time in franchise history, Tampa is a perfect 9-0 in the previous nine instances, and none of those series even went to a Game 7. So that was one series. Here's the other. Blues, Avalanche, Game 2, second round. Avs up 1-0 in this series. We take you to 40 seconds left in the second period. Pavel Buchnevich feeding David Perron for the one-timer. Looking good, St. Louis. They take a 2-0 lead. But here come the Avs. Early minutes of the third, Mikko Rantanen gives to Gabriel Landeskog. Goal. Great give-and-go setup for Landeskog. For the goal, Avs cut the deficit to 2-1. Under 10 to play in the third. Same score. Perron takes it away. We got a 2-on-1 for the Blues. Perron gonna take it himself and put it in. Somehow that puck sneaks right past the keeper into the goal. St. Louis would tack on another one and take game 2, 4-1. Series now tied up 1-1. Big night of hockey here on ESPN in the app. First, 8 Eastern after an overtime thriller Wednesday night. It's time for game 2 against the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Then immediately after that game, it's Oilers and Flames in the Battle of Alberta. Game 2 there. They combined for 15 goals in game 1. How many are they going to get in this one? Can't wait to see that. Coming up, what the heck happened to Luka Doncic in Game 1 and what has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors tonight? We'll talk about that. And Tiger Woods was tamed in Round 1 and he was in pain. Can he bounce back today? We'll show you his game from yesterday and a live report from the PGA Championship coming up next. And take a look at this. That's the world's top player, Scottie Scheffler, getting set. Round 2 of the PGA Championship is underway. Complete coverage right now on ESPN+. We'll have it all day right here on ESPN, and we'll talk more PGA Championship when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, Tiger Woods was in action. First round PGA Championships yesterday at the Southern Hills Golf Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There he is, and here he is getting ready for a second shot on the 10th hole. Started on the back nine, so look at this. Great shot, close to the pin. he would tap it in to go one under. And keep in mind, he started on the back nine, so that's why you're seeing the 10th hole there, the 15th hole here. Sitting at two under, the putt for par, missing just wide. Oh! He would have to settle for bogey on that one. 18th hole, second shot, par four. He's one under at that point. He's upset on that one, and you can see why. Over the green, into the bunker. Would have to settle for another bogey, even at that point. Third hole, two over on the day, second shot on the par four. Nice, right next to the hole. Taps it in for birdie. Will we see a Tiger run? Well, later he was back at two over. And in the bunker, second shot, way over the hole on that one. Another bogey. And then on the ninth hole, third shot, par four, just off the green. Check this out. Not the kind of day he was hoping for. Unable to even put the ball on the green. Finishes at four over. Spoke about his health.
It has felt better before. It's a little sore right now, and we'll go back and start the process of getting ready for tomorrow.
What does the rest of the day entail with that process?
Lots of treatment, lots of ice baths, and try and get the inflammation out and try and get it ready for tomorrow.
Tiger came out strong, starting two under through five holes. But that's really all the momentum he was able to muster up. He was unusually sharp iron play just wasn't there. He finished tied for 125th out of 156 golfers in greens in regulation on Thursday. So Gene Wojciechowski joins us from the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. And Gene, as you see it, what is the new normal for Tiger now when he plays?
Well, Ryan, he went on to say later to a larger gathering of press that his leg and foot really was bothering him yesterday. He didn't make excuses about it, but he did say he can't load, which is a huge thing in a golf swing. He can't twist without pain. He can't do a lot of things golf-related without pain. That is a new normal for Tiger Woods. He basically, when he plays a major, he has to try to duct tape himself together to be able to play the next day. That is what he's doing right now as we're on air, I guarantee you. He has a little more time today because he teed off in the morning, so he has an afternoon tee time today. But the new normal is that he has to deal with decades of the cumulative effects of surgical procedures on that body of his.
So tough out there. We see him walking with that club almost as a walker. And you mentioned he's going to tee off in the afternoon, 2:36 this afternoon. But here's the wild card in all this. It's going to be very windy in Tulsa. So what are the expectations for Tiger today?
Well, they are expecting gusts of up to 40 miles an hour here. It's only going to get worse in the afternoon, probably. So he's going to have to deal with that. His game is going to have to get a lot better very fast because the cut here is 70 and ties. So right now he's tied for 99, so he has a lot of work to do. So he has to clean up his iron play. He said yesterday that was a major issue for him.
Absolutely. We saw the numbers 125th in iron play yesterday. Not a good sign. Now, Rory McIlroy has really been the other story in all of this. He's five under. He's atop the leaderboard at this point. It's been 8 years since Rory last won a major. What should we believe in terms of whether he can win at this point?
It is amazing to think, Ryan, that he hasn't won a major since 2014. His talent is simply too good to go that long without winning one. The key for him is always a fast start. He did that yesterday. And even think back to his final round at Augusta National where he shot 64. I don't want to put too fine of a point on it, but he's played with a certain confidence and joy ever since the Masters. It carried over into yesterday. That's the reason why you believe in him, because he played well yesterday. It's hard to believe he's not going to keep it up on some sort of level.
Wouldn't it be great to see him in the mix for the final day in this tournament and actually win the PGA Championship? Be a great thing to see. Gene Wojciechowski, great to see you as well, my friend. Take care. Well, the second round coverage of the 104th PGA Championship from Southern Hills this afternoon, 2 Eastern on ESPN. Joe Buck and Michael Collins, by the way, they're going to provide an alternate telecast on ESPN from 1 to 2 Eastern, then continuing from 2 to 5 Eastern on ESPN2. Okay, let's get back to basketball. The Warriors got the win in Game 1 behind some spread-out scoring. 7 players scored in double figures, tied for the most in a game in Warriors playoff history. On the other side, Luka Doncic not his best day at the office. 20 points in the loss, the third fewest in a game in his playoff career. Imagine that, how young he is. Just 6 of 18 from the field, not good. Had more turnovers than field goals made. And 3 of 10 from deep, by the way. As poor as his shooting was, Luka's ball handling didn't help his cause. Again, the 7 turnovers. And again, the more turnovers than made baskets. So not a good time. And that was the first time he did that in his playoff career. So you look at Luka. Guys, bring you all back in. Seth, you've got some tape on how the Warriors made Luka's life absolutely miserable in game one.
Took away all driving lanes. What they did was when Luka had the basketball, anytime two players came together, they basically blitzed him, did a good job in the backside. Watch this ball screen right here. You see Jordan Poole, he's going to step up. That's two on the ball. Look at the weak side defenders on the right side of the screen. They're in help. They can tag the roller. And then Draymond Green in that gap. When you can pressure the basketball, all of a sudden things are good. Now watch right here. Point of pickup. They picked up the ball at half court. They pushed the ball out. They met Luka at half court. They turned him twice in the backcourt. They see Curry helping. There's Draymond Green once again in that gap between ball and the basket. He gets a deflection, and all of a sudden, Golden State's out in transition. The point of pickup, the pressure on the basketball. If you pick up the ball over half court, all of a sudden, now you're making Luka turn two times. They're getting into the clock. All of a sudden, you can shrink the court. They did a great job of blitzing them when two came together, and then their weak side help got between the ball and the basket and got deflections, playing in gaps.
Blitz indeed. So, Legs, you look at that. What do you see, and what do you do if you're Luka?
Yeah, they did a great job of accomplishing something that Phoenix was never able to in their series, and that is put enough bodies and activity in front of Luka, whether it's just a hard show, hedge, a stunt, or you actually go ahead and commit full body, but also get out to the three-point shooters. And to me, you have to be able to do both against this team because Luka Doncic, if he gets single coverage, he is going to have a monster game and he's going to control the action with his pace, scoring over really anybody that's in front of him. And if you decide to go ahead and throw extra bodies at him, in previous series, he then picks you apart with his vision and his velocity that he puts on the ball to the weak side of the floor. And these guys are just towing up practice shots. That's how they beat Phoenix. Golden State did both. It's that rare combination. They did it with speed and a lot of versatility. And Seth, I love the point on the tape where you jump out early on these ball screens and you make Luka veer a little bit toward half court. You've done your job. And now you can sprint out of there, get back to yours, and put him back on the primary defender, whether it's Wiggins or Clay. So I just thought Golden State's game plan against him was phenomenal. He has to be way more decisive and attack on that first move, get some contact, get to the line a little bit early in the game, and get back to controlling the action.
Decisive, attacking, I got it. But Amari, let's say you're on his team. You've been in situations like this. You're on Luka's team. And let's not forget, he's a young player. He's a star, but he's a young player. You tell him to attack. You tell him what Legs is saying, what Coach is saying. But at the same time, mentally, with the uphill challenge that's presented with the Warriors, what are you telling him about how to make his game lead this Dallas team to victory?
Well, it's going to be a challenge for him, right? Because Golden State has a solid game plan against him. And they are focusing in on him because he's the primary player. So it's going to be difficult for him to get off. But I think...
But what do you say to him?
I think the interesting part, what I would say to him is go to the post. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times you can't really double team a lot of, you know, great post-up guys because there's so many angles you can take on the post to get your shot off. And you can see the double team coming early. So if you're in the post, you can definitely scan the court a lot better, and you can see where the double team's coming from. And like Coach was saying, if a guy cuts into his vision, then now you can make that pass, you know, from the post. So I would say work the post a little bit more, and then be more precise, have more precision when you're attacking. Attack right away before the double team comes, and then that way you can try to figure out your advantages from there.
Could be really interesting for him, and it just shows you how difficult it is to prepare for these Warriors as well, Seth.
It's a perfect storm. Look, you win in Game 7 against in Phoenix. All of a sudden, you got a quick turnaround. You're playing against a team that plays differently. Golden State Warriors play differently than anyone in the NBA. More assists, fewer isolations, fewer ball screens, more ball movement away from the basketball. It's not just the guy on the two-man side playing a two-man game. It's the ball movement away from the basketball. When you're playing against this Warriors team, if you're not locked in and disciplined defensively, not just on the ball, in the action on the ball side, but off the ball, they will carve you up. So Game 7, you win that game, you got to go to San Francisco, play a team that plays differently than anyone else. It takes time to settle in. Bad matchup for Dallas, but really, they had no shot. I'm not a gambling man, but if I was a gambler, they had no shot of winning that game one.
Wow.
No shot.
Let's see if they have a shot.
Too hard of preparation. What do you think, Legs?
Real quick, Legs.
Well, yeah, I think here's the thing about Golden State, to Seth's point. You know, this is a team that you've got to guard for 24 seconds. Very few teams operate that way. Normally, you get down to that red area, as they call it, and inside 6 seconds, teams are going to go to somebody, isolate four guys standing around. That's the way teams typically finish possessions. Golden State, think about this. In the last 6 seconds of the shot clock, they were 12 for 14 from the field because they continue to run the entire possession, and that's why they put so much pressure on what you have to do and the amount of communication that it takes to defend them.
Wow. What can they do? But I say this over and over again. We had the same kind of talk about these Mavericks when they were playing the Suns and down 0-2, and they did the, I think, what many think people think is the impossible. Hmm. You never know, Mavericks, and they say, don't count us out.
Bring Wendy, and he's going to say the best player.
Yeah. Luke is going to like he did yesterday. Well, coming up, what a spark from Marcus Smart. Man, he had a game. We'll show you his how his return changed everything for the Celtics last night. Is Boston now in the driver's seat? And look at Colin Morikawa. Getting in some practice there. That's a live look right there at Colin Morikawa, getting some practice swings in. PGA Championship is underway. Complete coverage right now on ESPN Plus all day here on ESPN. We'll keep scanning for the performances that happened this morning as Morikawa gets ready for the second round of the PGA Championship. We'll be back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.